Tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. When you get there, if you'll stand in honor and reverence of the Word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he began, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Look with me, please, in verse number 24. "Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf." Lord, we love you tonight. God, I ask, Lord, that you just help us, Lord, as we preach just for a couple moments. Lord, I ask, God, that you feed us from your word. God, I ask, Lord, that you continue to help us, Lord, in this matter of grace giving. Lord, again, God, we ask, Lord, that you be with Nancy tonight. Lord, would you just touch her? Lord, I ask, God, that you be with Brother Doug. Lord, would you just give them what they need for this hour? Lord, everything that's said and done tonight, Lord, I ask, God, the name of Jesus would be honored and glorified. Lord, would you touch our teenagers? Lord, as they're in church, Lord, I ask, God, that you give them traveling mercy as well. Lord, we love you tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Father gave his little girl $2. Dad had looked at that little girl and said, "You can do anything you want to with those $2. But the other dollar belongs to God." Or excuse me, he said, "You can do anything you want to with one of those dollars, but the other dollar belongs to the Lord." Little girl was so excited, she took those $2. And of course, she does what a lot of kids do. She wants to go to the candy store. And she began to run to that candy store. This is a long time ago. She was running to that candy store. And on her way to the candy store, she tripped. And one of those dollars fell into the drain. She got up and said, "Well, Lord, there goes your dollar." J.L. Kraft. That name may sound familiar. He was head of the Kraft Cheese Corporation. He'd given approximately 25% of, obviously, his enormous income to Christian causes through his local church for many years. This is what he said. He said, "The only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money that I have given to the Lord." Do you realize that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, 1 out of 6 verses deals with money? In fact, of the 29 parables that Christ spoke about, 16 of those deal with a person and his money. And we're continuing the thought, we're picking up where we left off last Wednesday night, of this matter of grace giving. And if you aren't here, I want to remind you that Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians, and he's talking about this gift that he's taking up for the believers at Jerusalem. They were persecuted. They lost their jobs because they were born again. They were saved. So they were coming out of Hebrew tradition, out of Judaism. Because of that, they were persecuted. They were poor. They were impoverished. So he's going around to these different churches of Macedonia, and he's taken up a gift. And they found out that the church of Corinth promised to give a gift, so they want to get in on giving. And so he's writing back to the church at Corinth because they promised that they were going to give. In fact, if you look with me in verse number 10, he says, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." They promised that they were going to give to this collection of funds to the saints at Jerusalem, but the problem is they haven't delivered on their problems. And Paul, or their promise, and Paul's now writing back saying, hey, all these churches in Macedonia are wanting to give because they found out you're going to give, but more than I'm looking, you promised you was going to give and you haven't gave. And so now Paul has given us a dialogue, probably I'd mentioned last Wednesday night, probably the best New Testament dialogue, if you will, of what it looks like for New Testament giving. There was a couple of things that I gave you last week. I want to remind you, number one, if we're going to be grace givers tonight, number one, we understood that it necessitates the grace of God. In verse number one, he tells us, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. He understands that, we understand today that if we're going to be grace givers, it requires grace. You can't be a grace giver without the grace of God. And Paul says, man, these churches are impoverished, and God, through His grace, bestowed it upon them. People who should have never gave, they gave. And Paul's telling the church at Corinth, man, I want to show you what the grace of God looks like when it comes to this thing of giving. But I'm going to be a grace giver. I have to understand it takes God's grace. Number two, we reminded you that grace giving is despite our circumstances. Verse number two, he tells us that the churches of Macedonia, they were in great trial of affliction. He tells us that they were in deep poverty, yet they had an abundance of joy, yet that they gave liberally, that means generously. And he was telling us, and he was telling them that despite their circumstances, they gave. Can I tell you and remind you tonight that grace giving is regardless of what's going on in our personal world. Grace giving is despite our circumstances. They were in deep poverty, but they gave anyway. Then number three, I remind you that grace givers have a get-to attitude and not a have-to attitude. Verse number four, he says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. These poor churches begged Paul to take money from them so that they could help out those saints in Jerusalem. He says, much entreaty that they would receive the gift. Paul didn't twist their arm. Paul didn't make up a bunch of stuff to try to force them to give. No, they asked Paul if they could give. Then number four, we looked at that grace givers understand that when they give, they are investing in eternity. Verse number four, the last part says, take upon us, they're talking to Paul, take upon us the fellowship, the partnership of the ministering to the saints. They understood that those saints needed help. They understood that the saints needed funds. They understood that those saints were persecuted. And they said, we want to partner with those saints at Jerusalem. Paul, take our gift, take our money, because we understand this. We may never meet those saints who are persecuted, but we understand this. We're investing in eternity. And can I remind you tonight, church, that when you give through your local church, you are investing in eternity. When you support a missionary, you are investing in eternity. When you support the Great Commission here at Tabernacle Baptist Church, you are investing in the Great Commission. You are investing in eternity. Then I want to give you tonight a couple more principles when it comes to grace giving tonight. I want you to notice this. Number five, if you will, grace givers give God full access to their life. Full access to their life. I said, preacher, what do you mean grace givers? God has full access. I want you to notice something about the churches of Macedonia. Look with me in verse number five. Paul says this, and this they did not as we hoped or expected, but notice what he says, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. In other words, God had full access to these believers. There wasn't an area of their life that God didn't have access to. You know what I found as Christians? Sometimes we're really good at saying, God, you can have access to this, 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 and this, but this, this, and this, I don't want you to touch. Paul said, you know what was something amazing about God's grace in their life? He said, first thing is they had full access. They gave themselves to the Lord. Can I ask you a question tonight? Does God have all of you? Does He have all of you? Or are there things in your life that you don't give them access to? The Bible says that they first, notice the order, first gave their own selves to the Lord. God had full access to their life. There wasn't an area that their life was not a living sacrifice. Charles Spurgeon said this, he who loves Jesus consecrates to Him all that he has. and feels it a delight that he may lay anything at the feet of him who laid down his life for us. Some of you, probably a lot of you have heard the story about a little boy who went to church one Sunday morning. Get out of the cold, he found church, went inside. He was outside actually trying to sell newspapers, but not a single customer came by that day. And so he entered into the church hoping to kind of pass by unnoticed on the back row. Then that preacher began to preach about God's love and what Jesus had done for that little boy. And at the end of the service, they took up the offering. And those ushers, they went down the row. They passed, began to pass that offering plate. And finally, one came to that little boy, that little newspaper boy. He stopped right in front of the little boy and he held out the offering plate. The boy stared at the offering plate. And after a long pause, he asked the usher to place the offering plate at the floor. Little boy began to do something very unusual. He stepped into the offering plate, one foot and then the other. He looked up and he was crying. He said, "Mister," he said, "I don't got no money. I haven't sold a single newspaper today, but if Jesus did all that that preacher said," he said, "I'll just give my whole life to him." And can I tell you tonight that these churches of Macedonia, Paul said, they first gave themselves. They had full access. Let me ask you a question tonight. What part of your life does God not have access to? You'll never, listen, don't even talk about giving. Don't even talk about grace giving until God has full access. Listen, it's not so much that God wants your money. God wants you. God wants you. Here's what I found. Once God has you, you ain't going to have no problem giving. Once God has all of me, I ain't going to have no problem laying anything down at His feet. Somebody said this, if we give ourselves to God, we will never have a problem of giving our substance to God. They gave themselves first to the Lord. It's interesting, I love how the Holy Spirit threw in that word first. It has to be that order. You don't give money without giving yourself. You got to give yourself first. Then if you want to give, first. So number five, grace givers give God full access to their life. Number six, we need to understand this. Moving quickly, grace givers do not substitute one cause of giving for another. Grace givers do not substitute one cause of giving for another. These churches, you say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" These churches of Macedonia, they not only decided to give to what I call the Jerusalem Project, but they also continued to give unto Paul and his ministry. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Look in verse number 5. "And this they did, not as we hope," or not as we expected, they went above and beyond, "but first gave their own selves to the Lord." Now notice the next three words, "and unto us." He said they went above and beyond. They're not only going to give to what I'm asking them to give to Jerusalem. They gave themselves to the Lord and they're giving unto us. When he says us, he's referring to himself and Titus and Paul's ministry. Paul said they did way more than they expected, that I expected them to do. They gave to us. If you remember last week's message, you understand the condition that these churches are in. Remember, they're in deep poverty. They can't get out of poverty. They're in deep poverty. The Bible says they're in great affliction. Paul's not really expecting them to give, but he says, wow, the grace of God in their life. And not only are they going to give to all those saints, but they're going to continue to support me. They're going to continue to give unto us. You say, "Preacher, when you mean grace givers don't substitute one cause for giving for another, what do you mean?" Here's what I mean. They didn't say, "Well, Paul, we're going to stop giving to you so we can put money up to the saints at Jerusalem." Or, "Paul, we're not going to give money to the saints at Jerusalem because we're going to give to you." They gave to both. And you say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" Here's what I'm getting at. You know, biblically, and when it comes to local church, there's three types of giving. There is your tithe. You say, "Preacher, what is tithe?" That's 10% of your income. And you may be here and you say, "Preacher, I don't think the New Testament church is for tithing." Listen, I understand that. We preached a two-day series on why I believe tithing is a biblical principle. It was before the law, after the law, and then Jesus backs it up in the New Testament. 10% of your gross income. You say, "Preacher, why is it the gross?" Because why are you going to give the government money before you give Jesus money? Amen, preacher. Right? You don't tithe off the net. You tithe off the gross. Y'all live tonight? Anybody with me? I ain't giving the government more than I'm giving the Lord. I'm not going to give. That's why it says give the first fruits, right? First fruits. That's the first portion. So there's three types of giving. Tithe. Listen, I hate to preach about money, but we're here because y'all get all quiet on me, get all spiritual, but we're here. That's what expository preaching does. We preach books of the Bible. Three types of giving. Tithe, 10% of your gross income. But then there's also missions. All right? We support missions here. We preached on it Sunday. We support missions here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. You say, preacher, how much should I give towards missions? That's why I invited you on Sunday. Have a conversation with the Lord. And whatever the Lord tells you to give to missions, that's what you give. But then there's times that we would call an offering or a project. Like right now at Tabernacle Baptist Church, we're paying down our building debt. That is a special offering, if you will. And you can give towards that. But here's what I know. Your tithe is not a substitution for missions. You'll say, well, I'm just going to give everything to missions. No. See, they didn't do that. Y'all reading the same Bible I'm reading? They said, no, Paul, we're going to give to you too. We're going to give ourselves to the Lord. We're going to give to here. And then we're going to give to you. Paul said, and give to us. So when you give as a grace giver, you don't say, you don't substitute one for another. Missions is not substituted for your tithe. When you pay towards the building debt, that is not your tithe. Am I making sense tonight? You don't swap around. You pay tithe. And if you praise the Lord, you pay missions, praise the Lord. You want to pay for a special offering, whatever it is that time, praise the Lord. But you don't swap and you don't add and you don't, they didn't do that. Grace givers do not substitute one cause for giving for the other. They said, we're gonna give unto you, Paul, and unto you, and unto your ministry. We're gonna give to the saints of Jerusalem as well. The churches of Macedonia had no intention of giving to the saints at Jerusalem at the expense of giving to Paul's ministry. He said, they're giving unto us. Put yourself in Paul's shoes. Paul's blown away. Impoverished church, right? They shouldn't be giving. But he's like, man, the grace of God. He's trying to explain it to the church at Corinth. He's like, you don't understand God's grace on them. They don't even have nothing to give, but yet they're giving. They did way more than we hoped, way more than we anticipated, way more than we expected. Grace givers do not substitute one cause. You know, Paul, I believe Paul said, look, you don't got to give to me. You don't got to give. You ain't even no shape to give anything. If you want to give, give to those saints. But you know what they said? No, Paul. We're not only going to give to the saints of Jerusalem, we're going to keep giving to you too. We're going to support you too. Paul's blown away. He's blown away. Why? Because grace givers do not substitute one cause of giving for another. And then tonight, number 7, grace givers understand this is God's will, not their idea. Giving is God's will, not their idea. Very important words here again in verse number 5. And this they did, not as we had hoped, did a lot more than we expected, but first gave them own selves to the Lord. And unto us by what? By what? See, you can get mad at me for preaching it, but it ain't my idea. This is God's idea. It's in the Bible. Y'all read the same Bible I got? By the will of God. You mean to tell me it was God's will for the people in this position to give to the saints and to Paul? Don't get mad at me. That's what the Bible said. It was God's will that those impoverished people gave money to Paul and gave money to the saints at Jerusalem. That was God's will for their life. God gave them a special giving grace that He wants to give to us tonight. Can I remind you tonight, if it's God's will for them to give, it's God's will for me to give. It's God's will for impoverished, afflicted people to give. I would dare say it's God's will for us to give. It's God's will. Grace givers understand giving is God's will. It's not their idea. Paul didn't just make this thing up. In fact, and I'm not trying to put words in Paul's mouth, but when you read the text, it's almost like he don't want him to give. He's just blown away. And you know what they tell Paul? Hey, Paul, this is God's will that we give. It's God's will that we give to you. And it's God's will that we give to the saints at Jerusalem. It's God's will. And Paul's just blown away. grace givers understand that giving is God's will, it's not their idea. And if they can give, we can give. Number eight, grace givers hold giving to a high importance. Grace givers hold giving to a high importance. Look with me in verse number six. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound, that word abound means to overflow. Church at Corinth is doing pretty good. I don't think the church at Corinth is the same church at Corinth. I think they've grown a little bit from 1 Corinthians. Look at what he says. You're overflowing in verse number 7. You're abounding in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and your love to us. It sounds like the church is doing pretty good right there, don't it? But notice what he says. But see that ye abound in this grace also. The Bible tells us that they were strong, and at this point they're strong in their faith. They were strong in their utterance. They're speaking. They were speaking well. It almost reminds of Apollos. They had knowledge, the Bible says, knowledge, the Word of God. They're growing. Then it tells us they had diligence. That word means they had zeal for their faith. And then they have love. That is the agape. That is the unconditional love. Paul says you have it. And you don't just have it, but you're abounding in it. You're overflowing. You're doing well, church at Corinth. But there's one thing missing. He says, see to it. See that ye abound in this grace, this giving grace, this grace giving. You need to overflow in grace giving also. Paul says all these things are wonderful things, but giving needs to be right there with it. And maybe you're here tonight and maybe your faith is strong. Maybe you're eloquent teacher, preacher. Maybe you have a lot of knowledge of the Bible. Maybe you're zealous for your faith. Maybe you love people. But maybe your giving isn't what it should be. You know what Paul's telling us tonight? He says, see that ye abound in this grace also. Grace givers hold giving to a high importance. Can I tell you tonight, and by the way, I'm not commanding, I'm going to hit that in just a second, but giving's important, church. It's very important. It's very important. Grace giving ought to be up on a high standard. Of all these wonderful truths, Paul says, your giving needs to be up here too. You're doing well in everything else. He says, but you need to take your grace giving and you need to put it up there. See that this same grace also. And so maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, well, I didn't really know about giving, and maybe you're strong in all these other areas. We need to obey the words of Paul and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Abound in this grace, this giving, this grace giving also. And then lastly, let me give you this and we'll be done. Grace givers are motivated by love, not by manipulation or obligation. Grace givers are motivated by love, not by manipulation or obligation. Look at what Paul says in verse 8. I speak not by commandment. Paul says, I'm not commanding you to do this. I'm not commanding you. I'm not ordering you to give. But by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. And then he reminds them, for ye know, remember church at Corinth, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's taken them back. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty might be rich. Then look at what he says in verse 24. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. You know what giving does, church? It demonstrates that our love is genuine. He says, that's the proof of your love. That's sincerity. That shows that your love is authentic. See, when you put your money through a local church, support missions, support the church, support a special offering, it has to be motivated by love. Listen to me now. Not from manipulation behind a pulpit. You understand? because then it's a duty. He says, I speak not by commandment. He said, I'm not ordering you to do this. He said, what I'm telling you, though, is this is going to authenticate, it's going to prove if your love is genuine. Verse 24, he says, I want to show you to them before all the other churches that your love is legitimate. Amy Carmichael said this, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Why? Because it authenticates our love. Best marriage advice I give somebody. You want to have a great marriage? You want to really show them that you love? Give. Give. We're living in a society of marriages, nothing but take, take, take. What can I get out of it? What can I get out of it? I'm in it. What can I get out of this marriage? What can I get out of it? No, no, no. You want a good marriage? Then you give. That's the secret to success. You give. Why? That demonstrates your love. Giving. He gives the example of Jesus. Verse number 9, how who is rich became poor, so us who are poor could become rich. John 3:16, we mentioned it last week, for God so loved the world that He gave. He proved. You know, God didn't just tell us that He loved us. This is why giving authenticates our love. I can say that I love you all the time. You can tell your spouse that you love them, but until you do something about it, it means nothing. So what did God do? He didn't just tell us that He loves us. He did something about it, and He gave His Son. Your affection, your emotion, this love means nothing until it's put into action, and it's put into action by giving. He proved His love by giving Himself. Paul's telling them, he says, listen, I'm not commanding it. You don't give out of duty. Don't give out of obligation. Your giving should stem from your love for Jesus. Jesus, who was rich, became poor, so us who are poor could become rich. Preacher, why do you give? I give. Why do you give? I give because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. That's why I give. I don't give because some preacher tries to guilt trip me. I don't preach. Listen, everything I've given you tonight has been straight from the Word of God. I'm not up here trying to manipulate you to give. I'm not up here trying to twist Scripture to try to get you to give so we can have this big old giant bank account at Tabernacle Baptist Church and then the rapture happens and all that money goes to the world. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just telling you this. Your giving is authenticated, or your love is authenticated by giving. God, you've died for me, so I'm going to first give you full access to my whole life. I'm going to be, as Romans says, a living sacrifice. Therefore, I give. And your giving demonstrates your love. Corrie ten Boom said this, the measure of a life, after all, is not its duration, but its donation. How much you give. By the way, I'm not strictly talking about dollar amount. But what about you give? Your time, your talent, your treasure. It's a life of giving. In closing, I want to ask you a question tonight. Is your giving what it should be? I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm giving you Bible. Is your giving? Paul says, see to it, the same grace also. See to it. He says, you're doing well. Church, let me ask you tonight. Are you doing well in a lot of other things? But what about your grace giving? Is it what it should be? Paul says, I want to tell you, the grace of God that helped these churches of Macedonia is the same God, church at Corinth, that can help you in this matter of giving. Somebody said this, that you can't outgive God, and I believe it to be true. You say, preacher, how do you know that? If you were to go over to my house tonight, guess what you're going to find in the refrigerator? Food. If you open up my closet, there's going to be clothes. A home, vehicle. Listen, God has supplied all my needs. And I know this, that God's got a bigger shovel than I do. You can't outgive Him. And I believe this, church, that you would experience wonderful things when we get this thing of giving down. You'd be surprised what God wants to do through you. Things you've never seen before. My wife's sitting right there. This is a fact. Those times we would give, and just to be honest with you, things didn't add up always, but we would receive checks in the mail. I had no idea where they come from. Some of them, I remember one time, IRS made a mistake. How many of y'all know the IRS, they're going to make a mistake. You ain't going to get it. But it happened. We got money. We just decided to give, and God began to give through us, and He met every single need. I'm just telling you, the same grace that was bestowed upon them is the same grace that could be bestowed upon us. We may do well in everything else. How's our grace giving tonight? Let's pray. Lord, we love You tonight. Lord, I ask God that You'd help us, Lord, in this area of grace giving. Lord, I know, God,